is our brother Trey Freeman. Our opening prayer will be led by our brother Charles Hopkins Sr. And our speaker this morning is our brother Gilbert Baldwin. Sermon is titled, "Oh No, I Cannot Come Down." Scripture for this morning's sermon be taken from the book of Nehemiah chapter 6 in verses 1 through 3. And our scripture reader this morning will be our brother Vince Shimatero. And presiding at the Lord's table is our brother Wiley Edwards and brother Hank Davis Jr. And at the appropriate time, we'll be dismissed in prayer by our brother Greg Shriver. What's our first song this morning? 796. Our first hymn is 796. 796. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time, we're so humble and thankful that you blessed us all to travel safely out here, assemble this morning, Lord, be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Our Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to be able to gather together and worship this morning, Lord, and we pray that everything we do this morning, Lord, will be well-pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And Lord, we pray that if there be those in attendance that never put you on in baptism, Lord, or have and need to come back and rejoin your fold, Father, that they may do so as the opportunity is extended to them this morning, Lord. We ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for children in the air. I'll join him in that land where tears nor sorrows can be found, and I'll receive a mansion, gold and crown. Mansion, rope and a crown, there love always abide. Let be your throne surround, Lord, please serve mansion, rope and crown. The weather is always fair, and the sun shines day and night. No corn or the rain will fall there, for the sun shines ever bright. I'll need no heavy garment, I'll just wrap my robe around. With our receive a mansion, robe and crown. Mansion, robe and a crown, there love always abound. Let me your throne surround, Lord, please mansion, robe and crown. My head bowed and bloodied down from the work that I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with the crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, for there'll be no cause for a frown. When I receive a mansion, robe and crown, mansion, robe
God in prayer this morning, please turn to your hymnbook, page 806. 806. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
I like to stay here longer than man's allotted day, and watch the fleeting changes of my sunny Monday. For if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. For yes, I live in glory, I am high. I'll tell and sing the story there on high. There is my dear Redeemer, the Lord to die. For yes, I live in glory, for I can't die. And I know it's nearing, I make my look away to yonder host of hurdles, the land of endless day. I'll sing to Him forever and look beyond the sky and think His end is ever in glory by and by. For yes, I live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, for to die. For yes, I live in glory, I am thine.
Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful unto you for the opportunity that we have at this time to come together upon this first day of the week. Thankful for each one that have attended this service today, even though we got a little bad weather outside. Pray that they will be uplifted, and the things that we do here today will be inspiring to each one of us. And Father, we just thankful that we can come together on such occasions as this, as well as others, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And at this time, Father, we want to be mindful of the situation that's over in Ukraine between the two countries, Russia and that country, and all the other countries involved in it. Pray that as time goes by, they can reach a peaceful solution and will not cause all the suffering, the dislocation of people, all of the things that's going on. May people open up their mind and be able to see that that things like that, it should not be. We have in wars, we have had them down through the years, all down through even the Old Testament. But help people to be able to strive to be able to get along, and I think it would be more pleasing to you. And Father, may your blessing at this time be upon the bereaved. We have the two that mentioned here this morning, our brother Doug Lucas, who was among us here, and our former member, sister Edith Johnson, living in Carolina. May your blessing be with the family members, and they can be confident in a time of need. And when we reach out to them, may we be able to support them in the loss of the loved one. And Father, as you, Brother Gilbert, stand before us this morning and present the message, May we listen attentively to it, being able to apply the thing that he would present to us through our lives. And those that are traveling, our brother Skip and his wife out of town, may your blessing be with them and they be able to have a safe trip your home. Be with us always when we come together, and may we always do the thing that would be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymn book to page 504. 504. Sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
When peace like a river attendeth my bed, when sorrows I see, Oh, how he will.
We've now come to that portion of our service where we remember, honor, glorify the great sacrifice made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary by the taking of the Lord's Supper. Scripture tells us that he sat with his apostles and he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you." Before us, we have those emblems of this great feast. We have the bread, which represents the body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. At this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our kind, gracious, and heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, thanking you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to walk this earth and die on the cross for remission of our sins. Father, we ask at this time that we take of this bread, Father, that we do so that it is a way that is worthy and pleasing unto thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us give thanks for the cup. O kind and gracious Father, we are so grateful and so privileged to have this honor to remember Christ Jesus on the first day of each and every week. Thanking you so much for allowing him to go to the cross and shed his precious blood, his soul cleansing blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For it is in his name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
It is our desire here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ that all who wish to partake of the Lord's Supper have an opportunity to do so. If for any reason you were overlooked, we wish you would signify by raising your hands. Seeing no hands, we move to another portion of our service, that is of giving. Let us now give thanks for that opportunity. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we once again come to you, Father, this time to thank you first and foremost for the many blessings that you have given us, Father, and all the love you have shown us, Lord, even though we don't deserve it. Father, we thank you at this time for this opportunity to give back such a small portion which you have so greatly given to us. Father, we ask at this time, and as we do so, Father, we do so that it is a way that is pleasing and worthy unto you, a way that is cheerful, a way that is not grudging, and not of necessity. Father, your word says, God, that you love a cheerful giver. So, Father, we do so. We do this in a way that's pleasing unto thee. And we do this in the name of Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen.
If you would, mark the notes at page 572. 572, that will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 22. 22. See verses 1 and 4. I hope I can't stand it.
There is beyond the desert blue a dark and luminous sky. He fills the sky with heavenly dew and frames the world with his great light. Our God, the Creator.
Scripture reading for this morning's sermon will be from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Again, that's going to be Nehemiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave and come down to you?
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody who was able to make it out today. And it's always good to be in the house of the Lord, certainly. We thank God for making it possible for us to be here today. If it weren't for God, we wouldn't be able to do very much of anything, you know. So we're thankful to Him. He is a good God. He is a great God. As you probably know, Brother Skippy and Sister Carolyn are away. They are in Texas. And certainly we hope that things are going well for them, that they'll have a safe trip back to Michigan with us. Once more, the hand of Almighty God has been merciful to each of us. God has lengthened out the brittle threads of our lives. And He has allowed our golden moments to roll on a while longer. We have a desire to worship Him, and for that purpose, we have come together. The psalmist says in Psalms 133, verse 1, Behold, how good and how precious it is and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. We're unified today because we have one common denominator. His name is Jesus. And we are so grateful for Him. Today's lesson is coming out of the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. Nehemiah, chapter 6, we will be dealing with the first three verses in that chapter. I'll read it again for emphasis. We'll be this time reading from the New King James Version. Now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, the Sanballat and Geshem sent for me, saying, Let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So So I send messengers back to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down unto you? We see here in this text Nehemiah, the cupbearer for the king of Persia, called and commissioned to lead the effort in rebuilding the wall around the humbled, wasted city of Jerusalem. He faced much opposition and different challenges from the adversaries of God's people. However, while he was engaged in this work, Nehemiah was steadfast. He was determined to finish the work of rebuilding that wall around Jerusalem. While the opponents of the work were relentless in their efforts to frustrate and disrupt this mission by oppression, by threats of war and attacks, various other distractions. However, Nehemiah and his love for God and his love for Israel and his love for the holy city, he would not allow those enemies to disrupt the mission which he was determined to complete. Thus, when he was summoned by Sanballat and Tobiah and all the enemies round about him to come down into the plains of Ono, remember that word, Ono. Because when he was summoned, he sent messengers back to them saying, oh no, I cannot come down. With all of the distractions, with all of the things that were going on around about him, with all of the threats, with all of the enticements and allurements that they continued to hurl at him, he said, oh no, I cannot come down. They had threatened him with war throughout this rebuilding process of this wall. Sanballat and Geshem and the Ammonites had all gotten together and conspired against him. They were going to attack Nehemiah and Jerusalem while they were rebuilding that wall around Jerusalem. But they prayed to the Lord, and this did not distract them from the work. So we see in chapter 5 of Nehemiah, with all of this going on, they continued to threaten him with oppression. They took away the money. They made them impoverished and they made them poor, where they had barely just enough to eat, barely had the basic necessities, not only to complete the work, but of life. But throughout all of this, we can see in chapter 6, verse number 1, he says, now when it happened, they had heard that the wall had been rebuilt and there were no breaks in it. That means that throughout all of the opposition and all of the threats and the allurements that he underwent, they completed the work. They pressed on to complete the work that the Lord God had commissioned them to do. Does that sound familiar? Nehemiah had a work to do. He was born for this work. He was raised up at the right hand of the king of Persia as the cupbearer to do this particular work. And when he was called to do this, he went right into it. He wasn't like some who have been called out. Nehemiah was chosen for this job. And he was determined. He was determined to complete this mission. He determined that this mission would be a success, not under his own power, but under the power of the Almighty God, the God of Israel, the God who said, my name will dwell in Jerusalem. My name is going to dwell in Jerusalem. Now, although Israel may not dwell there, I'm going to dwell my name in Jerusalem. Now, this is a respect He had an awful lot of respect. Nehemiah had for Jerusalem, Nehemiah loved Israel, and he loved the Lord. Does that remind you of anybody today? Does it remind you of the spiritual Israel of today, the house of God today, spiritual Jerusalem, Zion, if you will? We have been called by the gospel to this work. It's not just a life, it is a work. Christianity is a work. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 58, he says to the effect, "Now ye are be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as ye see your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This is a work. We have been commissioned to do a work. We've been called so that when we are encompassed about with the enemies like Nehemiah was, when we are threatened with war and oppression, when we are threatened with attacks from the enemy, and when we are lured by those crafty undesirables, we must say, "Oh no, I cannot come down. Oh no." Why must this work cease while we come down unto you? You don't mean me any good. Now we see in chapter 5 of Nehemiah, they tried to distract him with threats of war, with oppression. And now here in chapter 6, they're trying to allure him. They're trying to entice him away from the work. War didn't work. Oppression didn't work. Now we are going to entice you, Nehemiah, away from the work that you have been called to do. We don't want this to happen. We don't want you to be successful in this work. So we're going to try everything in our power to keep you from completing the work that is before you. You know, that sounds like Christ, his disciples, and his church, and the work that we have to do. How many things are oppressing us? How many things are warring against us? How many things are trying to allure us and entice us away from this work? And in the midst of these things, we got to say, "Oh no, I cannot come down. I cannot." This is the commitment that Nehemiah had. The very commitment that we ought to have as we do the Lord's work. We don't face any different enemies than Nehemiah did, maybe on a different level, a different time, in a different land, but the enemy is the same. The enemy is the devil. Remember when Jesus said, "I'm going to die a terrible death. I'm going to be betrayed. They're going to send me before the magistrate. They're going to persecute me, scourge me, and ultimately, they're going to kill me." Peter said, "Not so, Lord. We're not going to let this happen to you." I can imagine if Peter were wearing a suit jacket, he might open his jacket and say, "I've got a sword. Just let them try something. Me and my boys, we're going to take care of you." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus said, "I have a work to do. I have to die for your sins. I didn't come down here on this mission to play around. I have a work to do, Peter. I have a mission to complete. I will complete it. Oh no, I shall not, I will not, I cannot come down." We are commissioned to preach the word. We are commissioned to preach the gospel, to share the good news of the gospel. Elders, deacons, preachers, members, let's keep this work going. You know, this congregation has undergone some hard times in the past, but I am so glad that the shepherds who were here at that time reached down and kept this work going. This is a good work, and we cannot allow the things on the outside to stop it. We cannot allow the enemies of the gospel to thwart the work that we have before us. Oh no, I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while we come down to you? Why should the work cease because someone threatens to harm us? Why should the work cease? Because someone tries to allure us away from what we are doing. Why should it cease? Because they just don't like us. You know, this work here at Cross Street and throughout all the Lord's churches, bigger than all of us. It's bigger than any of us here. This is to glorify God. This is to draw all men unto God. Not just here at Cross Street, but to God. And I'm so glad that we realize this, and we will keep this work going whenever you are doing the work around here, whenever you are giving your contribution on Sunday, whenever you're coming here throughout the week to do the various jobs, and you're teaching the young children Wednesday evening, the ladies who teach the young people and the two gentlemen who teach the classes. You know, and if you only have one person in that class, you're not going to say, well, we just have one student tonight, so let's just skip it. Oh, no. Because you don't know. That one child can make a big difference in somebody else's life. We have to keep going. A lot of people have other things they want to do at that time. Some say, well, you know, I could be rebuilding my business. I could be using my time and my effort and working overtime at work. Or I could be using my time to build my home and cultivate my garden. I could be doing so many other things. I started to say little things, but none of this work is little. None of it is minute. People who come here to teach these young people, and hopefully we can get some gospel preachers out of these young men. And the young ladies, hopefully they'll marry some of these young men who are gospel preachers and help carry on this work. You know, when we are tossed about with the winds, and change and persecution, when our families and our friends leave us because we are so committed to that church building down the street, said we are so heaven bound that we are no earthly good. But why do you have to go to worship every Sunday? Why do you have to go to worship on Wednesday night? We have a work to do. We as Christians, we as men and women of God, we have a large, big job, important job that we must do to carry this work on. And when things pop up that we were not expecting, we must have the gall, we must have the audacity, we must have the wherewithal, we must have the strength and the gumption to keep going. We must say, I will not come down. Nehemiah was determined. We should be determined too. Let's look at some things that might try to throw us off. Some things that might try to distract us. There's grief, there are hardships, suffering. Those are some things that might try to throw us off track. You know, economic times are tough. We don't have as much money in our 401k as we did a few years ago. Some of our annuities are down. Some of them are gone away completely. Gas prices, as you know, are high. Mortgages are crashing, some mortgage companies as well. Grocery prices are high. Hardships, grief. We have lost loved ones to COVID-19. COVID-19 is running rampant throughout the world still. No, these things cause a lot of people to abandon the church and to abandon Christ. The first thing the devil wants you to do when hardships come, when our money gets tight, well, I'm going to have to trim a little bit off of my contribution this week. That's what the devil wants you to do. Oh, no, cannot come down. I have a reward in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, endure hardships like a good soldier. Endure hardships. It didn't say run away from hardships. Endure hardship. In other words, outlast the hardship like a good soldier. Hardships are no respecter of persons. Well, some say, well, the young die and things happen to everybody. But for us, as children of God, these things happen for a special purpose. To turn our eyes away from God. But we must say, in the face of this oppression and hardship and these sufferings, I cannot come down. I think Paul said something like, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, sword, peril? He said, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. And all these things, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Remember that and say, oh no, I cannot come down. Endure these hardships. Endure this affliction. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. These things happen to the people of God. But you have to say, oh no, I cannot come down. When we are tempted with worldly lust, ungodly lust, these things tend to pull us away from the work here. But we have to say, in the face of all of this adversity, oh no, I will not, I shall not come down. You remember Joseph. I believe it was around Genesis 39. Joseph and his master's wife. His wife got close to him and tried to get Joseph to lie with her. Joseph said, my master has made me second in command. He has not withheld anything anywhere from me but you. He says, how can I sin and do this ungodly thing against my God? He said, oh no, cannot come down. Now granted, nobody had to know about that thing but Joseph and that woman. But he knew God would know. I cannot come down. Immorality is calling. Worldly lust and desires are calling. They're calling me away. But I have to say, oh no, I cannot come down. I cannot allow this thing to get me. Knock me off track. Cannot do it. You know, when that alcohol begins to call you back, when that worldly lust starts to calling out to you, I'm going to go over here to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He goes on to say, and such were some of you. But don't go back. Don't go back when that alcohol begins to call you back. When those funny-looking cigarettes start calling to you. When those ungodly places of abuse and abode start calling unto you. That entertainment, those TV shows, those radio programs, some of that music. When they start calling you back, don't go back. Oh, no, I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I come back down to you? Second in Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So when these ungodly things start calling out to you, we got to say, oh no, I cannot come down. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." That's that letter that they sent to Nehemiah when they were trying to get him to come down to Ono. "Why don't you come down to the plains of Ono," they said, "and let's talk. Let's negotiate. You know, you give a little, and I'll take a little, and we'll meet in the middle, all right?" Oh, no, that's not going to work. That's what they want you to do. They're trying to get you to sell your soul. But you have to say, oh, no. You have to be like Naboth. You remember when Naboth told Ahab, "Not for sale." You have to tell him like Esau should have told Jacob, "My birthright is not for sale." He should have told his brother, like we should tell ungodliness and unrighteousness, "Not for sale. Cannot come down." Sometimes when we are faced with false doctrine, we got to say, oh no, cannot, will not come down. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth, and their hearts shall be turned under their own lust." But watch this. Endure affliction. Endure hardships. Endure those allurements. All of those allurements. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry. He said, "I'm not ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. But not to me only, to all of those who love his appearing." Oh no, I cannot come down. Because I am waiting, I'm striving, I'm running, I'm working for that crown of life that is laid up for me. I want to get to that city where they'll never grow old. Cannot come down. This work here is important. Mike, Bob, Gilbert, Kenny, members, all of us, say, oh no, we can't let this work stop. Can't be distracted. Remember, they're trying to call you down, trying to call you to the plains of oh no, but you've got to say, oh no. Too old, no. I can't go down. This morning, I appreciate your attentiveness. Don't let them call you to the plains of Ono. Keep God first and foremost in your minds and in your hearts. You know, you've heard his word this morning. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you become a member of the body of Christ. For those who are already members but have strayed away, been unfaithful, and done things you know you shouldn't have done, you can straighten that out this morning. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. Blessed Savior, I surrender.